The process is in the commission, therefore we assume that this is a mixture in half dollars. The law points that, and which appears in half dollars as well. But with that, our question is basically in the Australian, but with that, what am I doing with association half tomorrow, and often with my husband? But this group of CPCs in China take that night, and that can be fulfilled in conjunction with the mixture of Hawaii. There is mixture that has to be observed on Well Pesa. I thought it was called Pesa, not tomorrow, on the basis. So the Talmud says that today we no longer have the Haftorah from Pesach, and we no longer have more of the Haftorah. This the Morah only applies to Haftorah in conjunction with the Talmud of Pesach. And the Talmud in fact has a dispute regarding not to this one of them. Should we assume that not to the same as Morah? That it's only a biblical mitzvah that not to the Hamid Shayakayam in conjunction with the Talmud of Pesach, like the Morah is only the Haftorah in the days of the Beit Hamikdash. Should we assume that not to today, it's still a mitzvah Torah. So the conclusion of the discussion in the Gemara is that matzah today is still a mitzvah Torah, but matzah has a double nature. It enhances the mitzvah called Pesach just like Morah, and it also exists as an independent mitzvah. The Talmud has the following comment. Just like with respect to Kiddush and Hagdolah, we don't require that each and every person should say his own Kiddush. We don't require that each and every person should read the Megillah Esther. One Balkari reads the Megillah, and everybody fulfills the mitzvah based on the principle of Shamei Asayinah. Now pay attention to somebody else reading the Megillah, somebody else reciting Kiddush or Abdullah. It's considered as if I had also recited the Abdullah, if I myself had read the Megillah. So the Gemara says that the same is true regarding speaking of Jesus, right? Now pay attention, it's not necessary that every member of the household, anybody should read the Abdullah themselves. One person can recite the Haggadah, and everybody else can be heard to the music. In fact, years ago, they didn't have to Haggadah. This is before the days of Maxwell House Book. In the days of the Kabbalah, one person would recite the Haggadah, and everybody else would fulfill the mitzvah just by paying attention, like we do all the time on Kiddush. Every Shabbat, you have one of the father of the household for the Kiddush Haggadah, and everybody else would be heard. There's more having a discussion regarding, and it's also an interesting thing, they didn't give up on paper. Talmidim stayed in Yeshiva on Pesach, not in Balozhin. He stayed in Yeshiva, he stayed in Balozhin on Well Pesach, in order to attend the data that was presided over by the Nesid. And all of the students wrote their recollections and their impressions of the Seder that was presided over by the Nesid. So the Talmud tells us that Rav Yosef was a blind rabbi who was an Amora, basically Amorite. And he would have all of his students in Yeshiva on Pesach night, like in Balozhin. He would recite, he would rattle off the whole Haggadah. The others didn't have any Haggadah. He would be mostly them, just like one is mostly everybody else with Kiddush and Haggadah. He would be mostly them using the principle of Shemei Torah in connection with the Haggadah. So the Gemara raises an objection. Rav Yosef was blind. Is that okay? Rav Yosef was blind. So the question is, a blind man is not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah and Haggadah. So the passage uses the word zeh. But with zeh, Asa Hashem leads us back to Mitzrayim. And the rabbis had a tradition that whenever the word zeh appears in the Chumash, many times, not whatever, many times when the word zeh appears in the Chumash, it has the connotation of something that you can point to, some visual aid. So by the zeh, I'm not able to show you that not tomorrow, but not tomorrow, that I can see the master tomorrow, because in Pesach I can see the Mitzvah Salah sitting on the table in front of me. Rav Yosef was blind, so he wasn't obligated. He wasn't obligated to recite the Haggadah and Haggadah. The students were not blind. The students were able to see the Master and Mara on the table. So if they were obligated to recite the Haggadah and Haggadah, and his obligation was only the Rabbanah, the Mara raises an objection. He's not Mechuyah the Dover. He's only Mechuyah the Dover. He's only obligated on the level of the Rabbanah. So how can he be the Rosh Hamadah? How can he recite the Haggadah? So he might know the Talmidei HaYeshiva. He's not Mechuyah the Dover. As the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah tells us in Megillah, that if you have a child before Bar Mitzvah, and he's a good Bar Tekeiah, he cannot blow Shofar and Shul because he might be anybody, because the child is only obligated to see a Shofar to the Rabbanah, the Tam Shumah, and the adults there find themselves obligated in the Mitzvah and Atorah. Why is Allah referring to God in the Quran? Cannot be mercy if Allah is referring to God in the Quran. And even if it's from the Gila, the whole obligation in the Gila itself is not in the Quran itself. The obligation of the child was before by which there is on a lower level than that of the adult to work. Past by mitzvah, he's only a shade of Allah, he's a shade of Allah. So the Mishnah says that one before by mitzvah cannot be the Balkorah, even if he's the best Balkorah out. He cannot read in the Gila to mercy everybody else, because his obligation is not on the same level is that of the adult. So the Gemara raises the objection over here, how come Rabbi Yehoshua maintained this practice? He recited the Haggadah, but he must be over the Nehai Shiva, and takes up night. If his obligation is clearly not the Nathara over the Rabban, because he's not able to speak, and Baba Zemi, Murat Mutanefa, if he can speak, then it's something he can speak. And the Tamir and Yeshiva were able to speak, so isn't their obligation the Nathara? How did it work? How can he must be them? He's not going to put to the same level. The common answer to Rabbi Yehoshua is of the opinion that just like Mara was not a Zed, only the Rabbanon, so Mata is not a Zed, it's also only the Rabbanon. So on the level of the right, there's no mystery from Faith of Mara. You're left without any mystery from Atot, and the Rabbanon, you have a whole, you have many mysteries. You have a Sabin, you have other creatures, you have Mara, but it's only the Rabbanon. And Atot, there's no mystery. It's also a test of the speed of period. And his mother is only the Rabbanon, and not his only the Rabbanon, the contrary of Yehoshua's view. So that Yehoshua is of the opinion that all the Talmidim are in the same boat with him. Everybody's only obligated to recite the Haggadah with the Rabbanon, and therefore himself he was able to recite the Haggadah to be mercy to everybody else. However, the Gemara concludes that we don't accept that position. He talks in Allah al that although Marav is not Hazeb, he's only the Rabbanon, because Marav appears in the Chumash only in conjunction with the Haggadah for the Master, who can repeat the mitzvah of Master? There's a double mitzvah to Master. There's one mitzvah that Master, one aspect of Master that enhances the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kavitesa, just like Mara. A Master can run Yom Luhu, which means the Kavitesa in conjunction with Master Mara. And then another part is the case where it's also a Master, it's a mitzvah in this Neyatma. And you can't admit to teach Master, and also, so he's not in relationship, not in conjunction with the Kavitesa. So therefore we talk in the halakha of Maitre, Master is Manazeh, is Menachor, so we're left with one mitzvah that's Menachor on Pesach night. Abba Tzayt is with the Rabbanon, and Tzayt is with the Rabbanon. Mara is with the Rabbanon because the Pesach doesn't exist. But there's one mitzvah of Master saves us, and that's why we have a mitzvah of Haggadah Menachor. If Master was with the Rabbanon, we wouldn't have any Baba Zeh, so then the whole Haggadah, then the whole keeping Kish Mishraim would be with the Rabbanon. That's what the Gemara says. That's what it says in the Haggadah. We got it from the Minchah of Yom Ha'olam, Baba Zeh, Asar Shem Lee, Baba Zeh, Lele Matzah, Lele Shosh, Sheyesh, something, we got to have something, either a Matzah, Lele Matzah, or Mora, or Baba Zeh, you have to have something. So the fact that the Matzah does remain in the Torah, saves us, and that causes that the victim seems to be facing shine is still applicable today on the level of the right, and therefore, Yom Ha'olam, if the father of the household, let's say the guest father, who once he's been deciding on whether they live 35 years, he wants to continue to recite the Haggadah to the mercy of all the other B'nai Habayis, that wouldn't be acceptable. He can recite the Haggadah for himself to the Rabban, but he can't be mercy of the others based on the principle of Shemei Atoina, because if the grandfather is blind, if the grandfather is sagging up, he's not able to see, so then the Gemara states clearly his obligation to recite the Haggadah is only the Rabban. And therefore he can't be mercy of the others who are obligated in the midst of keeping the peace and triumph on the level of their life. So again, on Pesach night we have this week of Kippur Kriyas Mishraim, based on the Pesach and Chumash, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the mitzvah still applies to Manazeh, despite the objection of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua felt that it no longer applies today. It only applies in HaTorah of Bizman Shadei Tamit Vishay Yitzayim, and the whole mitzvah of HaTorah of Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbana, and we don't accept his view. We talk to the Master of Bizman Hazeh is the right, and therefore the mitzvah of HaTorah of Kippur Kriyas Mishraim is the mitzvah of HaTorah. The commentaries point out in the whole discussion that usually we are in the practice of reciting a Birchas HaMitzvah before we perform a mitzvah, before somebody puts on Talis and Tefillin, et cetera. When somebody mentions lift, et cetera, usually yesterday by the candle. When a person washes until the Tzedayim, et cetera, and most people say it's Rokha after they wash until tonight. But we do recite the mitzvah in conjunction, we do recite a Bracha in conjunction with the performance of the mitzvah. 95-99% of the time, we recite the Bracha Ezra Rafiyasam in advance of the mitzvah, and once in a while we recite the Bracha after, soon after question we have for Pilgrimage. How come this list of speakers here, he's trying, he doesn't carry with it any drop at all, not before, not after? We don't decide any drop at all. So this is a big discussion in the commentary of the Rishonim and the brother of the Nesidim, Rabbi Yankel Meister, the author of the Nesidim, the Nesidim, and Mishpat, and Mishpat, explains in the introduction the following principle, which our foundation was fond of saying over every year, that we do not decide a business on this draw when the mitzvah is fulfilled either in the form of a brother or in the context of a brother. For example, we recite Kiddush on Shabbos night. That Kiddush is a mitzvah. The common effect is that reciting a Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah in our Torah. So how come we don't recite a brother as business on this one? It is Baruch HaTorah, Shekhar Shom, and the Torah is vulnerable. The Kaddish is a Shabbos. And then we start asking what the Kiddush. But the Kiddush is explained. Because the mitzvah of Kiddush itself is fulfilled in the form of a brother. Whenever the mitzvah is miskayemet, in the mitzvah of a brother, the Chachamim didn't feel it necessary to introduce another brother in conjunction with that mitzvah. Or let's say, when the person wants to have a bottle of Coca-Cola. So there's a mitzvah in the Rabbanah to recite a brother, Shehachol Mi Yidei Mitzvah. We recite a brother when we're about to perform a mitzvah with the Rabbanah Mitzvah. We just read the Gilan Tour, that's under the Rabbanah. And we lit the Hanukkah candles a few months ago, that's only the Rabbanah. And nonetheless, we recited Birchas HaMitzvah before reading the Megillah, before lighting the Hanukkah candles. So how come we don't recite a Baruch HaShem, we've shown it in the Torah, the Tzivan, the Baruch HaLoreho, and then we say the Shehachal Mizu Dvorah, the Hamotzi Lach Minorah. So the Nesidah says the answer is because the Mitzvah itself is fulfilled. The Mitzvah is to recite a Baruch HaShem, Birchas HaMitzvah. To recite a Baruch HaShem, when we were about to prove, since the Mitzvah itself it's fulfilled in the form of a brother, so the Chachamim didn't feel it necessary to introduce an additional brother, an additional Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Nesidah takes a step past this and says, not only is that true, when the mitzvah itself is fulfilled in the form of a brother, even if the mitzvah per se is not fulfilled in the form of a brother, but it's fulfilled, it's observed in the Mitzgeret, in the framework of brothers. For example, the mitzvah of Shishi Shishi Shana Pesach Nai, with the Rabban of the Chachamim instituted that this mitzvah should be fulfilled in the framework of four brachas halakhot. The four major brachas halakhot are the Taisis. Are the Taisis, the Gemara says, are four brachas halakhot. We recite Kiddush halakhot, Kiddush halayani. Then we recite the brach Hashem Yalvan, the brach Hashem Yalvan, the brach Hashem Yalvan, the brach Hashem that's the brach halakhot. Then we recite Yechas Hamot, after the meal. And then we recite what the Mishnah refers to as the Birchas Hashir, whatever that is. The Birchas Hashir is the fourth brother that's recited on the coast. And then we have a lot of things in between these brothers. In between the first and the second brother, you have a lot. In between the second and third brother, you have the whole meal. In between the third brother and the fourth brother, you have the whole halakha. So the Nesidus explains in the introduction to his Havara that since the mitzvah of Tzitzis Mitzrayim was mitzvah by the Hachamim, then I thought we can fulfill it without any brother. So the Rabban and the Hachamim when we're talking that we should fulfill this bracha in the framework of we should fulfill this in the framework of reciting these four brachas. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't introduce another Birchas HaMitzvah in advance of the Tzitzis Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's with this in mind that we understand why the sense of the Shulchan Aruch, some commentaries say on the Shulchan Aruch that the Kiddush on Pesach night is different from the Kiddush on every other Shabbos in the other. Kiddush on Pesach night is a mitzvah of Kiddush, but in addition, it's considered the Haskalah of the Haggadah. If you would have asked me, I would have said not. I would have said the Haggadah begins with Manishtana. I would have said Manishtana's introduction. The Haggadah begins with Haggadah Ma'ayim, and it's still off the Haggadah Ha'ayim thing. We'll get to that a little later, which is the Haggadah. I would not have thought that Kiddush on Pesach night is the beginning of the Haggadah. But in the Shulchan Aruch, that's one opinion. And the Nesidus is the one who is explaining that. The Shulchan Aruch is saying the following background. The Talmud tells us that if a person wants to do the Kabbal Shabbos early on Friday afternoon, that's perfectly okay. And it's even permitted to daven Ma'ariv early. Usually you don't daven Ma'ariv till nightfall, till it's nighttime. But on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara says it's permissible, a big discussion in the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch wasn't needed. But it says it's permissible to daven Ma'ariv early and you should do the Kabbal Shabbos at that time. So the Gemara raises the question, okay, we will make Kabbal Shabbos early, we even daven Ma'ariv. What about Kiddush? Can you take kiddush also before the sun sets on Friday afternoon? The Gemara says yes, you can even say kiddush. But just a minute, when you say kiddush, you have a principle that ain't kiddush ella from Rachel Kudin. You can only decide kiddush if you plan to begin the meal immediately after you finish the kiddush. So obviously, you know, the Gemara doesn't spell it out. The Shulchan Aruch spells it out. But you call the Shabbos early in the summer months, and when you start kiddush when the sun is still shining, right after the kiddush, you have to start eating the meal. When you start eating the meal, can you finish the meal also when the sun is shining? And then you go to sleep before Shkia. So you wait till the first food that you have missed is three food that's on Shabbos. The one food is on Friday night, the second food is Shabbos morning, and then the third food is Shabbos afternoon. So the first food of Shabbos, you can be on Friday afternoon before the sun goes down. So Tosfos has two opinions on this issue. One opinion is, yes, you own a Kabbal Shabbos, it's Tosfos Shabbos. Just like you can fulfill the mitzvah kiddush during this month of Tosfos Shabbos, so too one can fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Shabbos during this month of Tosfos Shabbos. You own a Kabbal Shabbos, so Shabbos, there's no problem. And the other opinion of Tosfos is, no, if you own a Kabbal Tosfos Shabbos, it's only Shabbos with respect to the prohibitions of the law. But it's not here, it can be against the kiddush also, fine. But, and once you yoyter kiddush, you have to begin the meal soon after the kiddush. But you won't be yoyter between the Shabbos unless you prolong your meal and you eat at least some challah. The mitzvah through the Shabbos is to eat pas. You have to eat a kazayis pas, a kazayis lechem, after say tachachodim of Leil Shabbos in the summer months. And if you finish eating everything, you go down before the sunset, before say tachachodim, you wouldn't be yoyter the meal. So this is a machlokes all year long. Usually in the wintertime, usually the issue comes up in the summertime. One is the power of Shabbos early. Can he get the mitzvah through the Shabbos if he finishes the whole meal in the Bog Yom before Tei Tachachot? Many are Mekot. The two opinions are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. They recommend Yishmi Machmer, but many people are Mekot. And when they Makal Shabbos early in the summertime, they say Kiddush, they eat the meal, and they finish, and they finish before the sun goes down. What is that on our Pesach? Visualize. Everybody comes to Yerushalayim. Everybody's on the regal, and everybody's eating Kol Pesach. So the Gemara says in Sukkah that they had to eat the Kol Pesach and Shif. Like here in Washington Heights, you have to eat them in Sukkah and Shif. There aren't enough Sukkahs to accommodate all of the observances. You draw lots, whatever you make up, who has the first Shif, and who gets the second Shif, and who gets the first Shif. So it's also in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, the Gemara says you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Kol Pesach if you eat the Kol Pesach on the rooftop or on the second floor of your building. The Gemara says the Gagim Aliyah were in the Kashu. The Gagim, the rooftop for the Aliyah, the second floor, were in the Kashu, didn't have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim that was necessary for the purpose of fulfilling the Mitzvah of Achilas Kol Pesach. It had to be eaten on the ground level. Yerushalayim is not so big. We have expanded Yerushalayim now for political purposes, but it doesn't have Kedusha to all the capital, Ramot, and everything. They need the Megillah and Tezvot and Ramot, but that's not the Yir HaTikah. Only the Yir HaTikah has the Kedusha in Yerushalayim. So all from Shmukalim or from Pesach has to be eaten in the old city of Yir HaTikah. It's not so big, it's pretty small. So you're going to have a few million Jews, but imagine a few million Jews coming to eat from Pesach. They won't all be able to sit in the Yir HaTikah on the ground level. You can't have a hotel with 15 floors and everybody eating on a various floors. Everybody has to eat literally on the ground level. So they had to eat in shift. Wouldn't it make sense if you're eating in shift that you should start as early as possible? So tell the first shift, see the Kabbal Yantas early, and finish up. We'll give you an hour and a half to finish the whole Seder, and you finish an hour before Shkia. And then the second shift will start after that. You're going to have shift till the middle of the night, and you have to try to finish everything by midnight. By Hasek, you got to have a lot of shift. So this is a dispute among the commentaries in Gemara's office. Even if one of those are of the opinion that on a regular Shabbos and Yom, it's perfectly okay not only to say Kiddush before Yom, not only to recite the Kiddush before the sun goes down, that's a Talmud story, but even to begin and to finish the whole meal before Yom, because it's Tosef of Shabbos and Tosef of Yom, and Masif and Mephilo, I said, which makes it perfectly legitimate. What about on Pesach night? What about Erev Pesach in the afternoon? If in the Kabbal Pesach, if in the Kabbal Kiddush of Yom, it's before Yom, using the principle of speaking in the Torah of HaKadosh, are you able to fulfill the mitzvahs of Matzah and Morah and Karm Pesach? Also, the Pesach says, Yoko Tabasa, Balayla Hazem, you have to eat the Karm Pesach at night time.
So that's all my thought.
Well, how do you translate the word balayla? Balayla means night time. You know that that's the translation.
How do you interpret it? How do you understand the word balayla? It doesn't mean night time.
You can't begin to fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and probably not tomorrow also.
So he says, on Matzah Shemarah, Yelvuluhu, you should eat the Karban Pesach in conjunction with the Matzah Nemarah. Obviously, this man is going to be the same month.
Here it says, you eat it all together, you have it in Kriha Achas. You eat it all together, and the Chachamim say it's not necessary, or perhaps it's not even acceptable to eat it all together, but it sounds from the Chumash that you're eating it all at the same time.
So if you should understand the Pasuk, Rafa Sabbat of Alayim HaZeh to imply that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah because you have got before Teta Chachal, before Laila, then you cannot fulfill anything before Laila, then you cannot fulfill the Matzah Nemarah. And then it's not called Baba Zeth. Baba Zeth, Matzah, the Shoshesh, Matzah, Mor, and Mor, and you have nothing on the table. The Matzah is on the table. But it's not called Matzah, it's not called Mor, it's not called Karban Pesach, it's not yet as Matzah.
You'll have to wait till it's Matzah, Teta Chachal.
So that's the popular opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the only view that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That even if you hold it all year long, you make it. That you can even finish eating this with a Shabbos, an Erev Shabbos, and Bor Yom, based on the principle of the season of Chayla HaKodesh. But an Erev Pesach, that's out of the question. You can't begin the Karban Pesach, the Matzah, you can't begin anything until after Pesach HaKodesh. Another opinion in the Rishonim is otherwise. That when it says in the Chumash, Rachel HaKodesh, Balayla, Balayla, Bor Yom, that means the exclusion of tomorrow morning. You cannot eat the Karban Pesach until Bor Yom, in the morning of Pesach. But an Erev Pesach in the evening and the afternoon, if you're working the Chayla HaKodesh, that's called Balayla HaZeh. Balayla HaZeh means Tchilat Kedushat Yomtiv. When you usher in the Yomtiv, and Yomtiv steps in, and Yomtiv begins, that's Leil, usually it's Leil Pesach, but if somebody wants to be working the Chayla HaKodesh an hour in advance, Tov Ola Brocha, so let him eat the first shift. Let the first shift start an hour before the Shkia. And let them get finished before the sun sets, and we'll get rid of them, and then we'll start the second shift for them. If you get it, and you have to have so many people leaving. Such a small area, and they have to finish by Chatzot. There's a justice dispute in the Mishnah whether this requirement to finish the Karban Pesach by Chatzot is that a din in HaTorah or a din in the Rabbanah, but a din it is for sure. The Mishnah says you have to finish the Karban Pesach by Chatzot. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says, in the Shulchan Aruch they don't quote this dispute. The Shulchan Aruch they assume for sure that the Karban Pesach has to be eaten balayla balayla. You can't begin to eat the Karban Pesach until after Pesach HaKodesh. And the Chumash seems to say that this man of Matzah Morah is identical with this man of Karban Pesach. So the Pasuk says, "Our Matzah Morah Yovluhu, you should eat the Karban Pesach in conjunction with the Matzah Morah." So you can't eat Pesach Matzah or Morah until Laila. If you can't eat any of the business of Laila until Pesach Shabbat, you can't begin to fulfill them until Laila. So the same is true regarding the mitzvah of Tzitzis Yisrael, even though you are nice in the Chayla HaKodesh. You can't begin to fulfill the mitzvah of Hagadah until you have Matzah Morah Menachem Lefanecha, means until you have the mitzvah of Halayla in front of you. And Erev Pesach, it's not called Menachem Lefanecha, it's sitting there. The matzah is sitting, I have my Shmur matzah sitting in the house that I now, but that's not called Menachem Lefanecha. It's not the Zman HaMatzah yet. So the Shulchan Aruch says you can't begin to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzis Tzitzis Mitzrayim until Halayla Mamash until Pesach HaMatzah. What? Where does the list of Tzitzis Tzitzis Mitzrayim begin? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, Avodim Ha'yidu. Hitzkila Abba Avodizor Ha'yadisayim. The Gemara has a dispute between Rav and Shmuel. Where does the Haggadah begin? So I would have said either one or the other. Either Avodim Ha'yidu. Hitzkila Abba Avodizor. So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, you can't begin to recite the Kiddush until after Pesach Chavim on Pesach Nam. So the question is, Manish Tana Alayla Zedekol Alayla. Why is Pesach not written tomorrow all the night? And every other Shabbos and Yom Kippur are permitted to recite Kiddush and Bar Yom on Pesach night time. So there's two explanations given by the two major commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz on the one side and the Bamei Avraham on the other side. And if we look at the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes both one after the other, gives you one sentence after the other, he gives you the two reasons. The one reason is, the simple reason is, that just like the Karban Pesach has to be eaten by Laila, the Chumash says so, the Yachal Chavrata by Laila on there. So the Matzah Nemarah has to be Balayla because the Pasuk says our Matzah is Rav Yochluhu, eat the Karban Pesach in conjunction with the Matzah Nemarah. And the same is true regarding all of the mitzvahs of the Rabbanim. The mitzvahs of the Rabbanim also have to be fulfilled Balayla. The Karpas is a mitzvah of the Rabbanim. Halosis is a mitzvah of the Rabbanim. Everything has to be Balayla. So one of the several mitzvahs of the Rabbanim that we observe on Pesach night is Abakos. Coincidentally, the first of the Abakos happens to be the drinking of the Kiddush cup. So you cannot begin to drink the cup of wine of the Kiddush until Pesach HaKodesh. So therefore, let's say I'm a chazan, and I have this knockout kiddush that takes me 11 minutes. Sitting over here, sitting over there. And I'm a yeshe, and I know exactly what time the Sefer Tehillim. So I can start 10 minutes before the Sefer Tehillim my kiddush, come to this position. I can start kiddush 10 minutes before the Sefer Tehillim, because I know it's going to take me 11 minutes to finish the kiddush, and I'm not going to get to drink the wine of the kiddush, which is the first cup of the Abbasai, which is the last to say that the first time. According to this opinion, that's okay. So when it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't begin to say kiddush. It's the last to lie, or the last to say that the father is talking that I'm not a cousin. It's not going to take me 11 minutes to finish. It's going to take me half a minute to finish the kiddush. So I can't begin kiddush till say the first time. I have to drink the wine by lila. Drinking of the Abbasai, which is one of the mitzvahs of the Rabbana. And I'm not supposed to fulfill any of the mitzvahs, even in Atar, long as I don't, until my Lord shall say that to her. That's one explanation. But the other explanation, given by the commentaries on the side of Shulchan Aruch, is more than that. Even if I know it'll take me 11 minutes to say the Kiddush, I can't begin the Kiddush until say that to her, because the Kiddush itself is the Hatzorah of the Havrot. Not the Hatzorah, the Kiddush is Kiddush, like Kiddush and every other Shabbat Yom. Takanadim. But with the Rabbanan, the Takanas Chachamim was to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiki, Yisir, Mitzrayim, in the framework of these four brachas alatot. We should recite the four brachas alatot. The Kiddush alayayim, Asher Yavonu alayayim, Dichas Hamozen alayayim, and Dichas Hashir alayayim. And the Shiki, Yisir, Mitzrayim should be fulfilled by filling in all the things within this mitzgeret, within this framework. The point of this position, the reciting of the Kiddush itself, constitutes the beginning of the Haggadah with the Rabbanim, and that's why you're not supposed to even begin the Kiddush, not only not to drink the Kosher Kiddush, you shouldn't even begin the reciting of the Kiddush until after say Sefer Chodesh. This was the explanation that was given by the Nesivim, that he was the one who explained why, what are all the different suggestions, why we don't recite a bracha before we perform the mitzvah of Kiddush Kiddush. He suggested what we should mention before, whenever the mitzvah itself is performed in the mitzgeret, in the framework of a bracha, either in the form of a bracha, in the framework of brachas, then no additional bracha mitzvah is required, and except that on Pesach night, with the Rabbanan, the proper form of fulfilling the mitzvah of the Kiddush Kiddush Mitzrayim is in the framework of these four brachas alatot. We shouldn't lose sight of the fact that Kiddush on Pesach night is a regular Kiddush also. It's not just swallowed up by the mitzvah of Kiddush Kiddush Mitzrayim. It's also a regular Kiddush. A lot of people make a mistake. I live here in the neighborhood, near the medical center. Very sharp to the there's always some guests here in the community who have their relatives in the hospital. And they eat in the hospital, they eat at home, they die in the hospital, whatever they do, half here and half there. So Pesach night, inevitably, there's always somebody who wants to start the Haggadah by somebody in the neighborhood, and then finish the Haggadah in the hospital with their loved ones. So you have to keep in mind that Kiddush on Pesach night is the same as Kiddush all year long, that we have a dinner, then Kiddush Erev and Matzah Suda. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush unless you plan to eat in that same place. In fact, you plan to eat your meal in the same place. Now, normally, the rest of the year, all year long, the dinner, then Kiddush Erev and Matzah Suda requires that immediately upon conclusion of the Kiddush, you start to wash and eat the Suda. So then you have to run. Slowly, but you're not supposed to really down, you're not supposed to carry on the conversation. You're supposed to help. We had this Shabbat, there were 450 boys in the yeshiva. You don't knock the other guys over. You let them, you let everybody else finish his washing. But that's okay. That's not called really down. But if it's a private home, you don't have so many people there, so you're supposed to go to wash immediately after the kiddush. Otherwise, it's a violation. The kiddush will not be good. It's not sufficient that the shiva will take place in the same location that we decided the Kiddush. If I say Kiddush now, I have to kneel an hour later, that's not sufficient. An hour later is also not good. You have to have the Suda right here. On Pesach night, our author says, a little differently. You have to begin the Suda at the earliest available opportunity. So all year long, the earliest available opportunity is right away. There's no need to talk to Rosh Hashanah now. You can say to Rosh Hashanah after Halloween. On Pesach night, you have no choice. It's not yet time for the Suda. You have to, in between the Kiddush and the Suda, you have to have Kara Shilchas, Kata, Yachas, Magid, a lot of other things, so you begin the Suda. But you have to keep in mind that the Suda has to be the Makam HaKiddush. It has to be the same place. I cannot have, I cannot probably have the Seder over here, a I'll say, I'll have half of the statement over here by family. Then I'll go to the hospital, and I'll say how much you over there, and have the other half of the statement over here.
No,
that's a violation of any Swedish ever the law included. There is no requirement that you have to have the whole statement in one place, because the Kiddush and the Suda have to be in the same place. And then after you finish your meal, you have to bench in the same place where you ate your Suda. That's the third cup. The third cup of wine is the Kaisa Birchas HaMazon. After you finish Birchas HaMazon, if you want to, then you go to the hospital and have the fourth cup and complete the halal in the hospital or whatever. Let's say you have the two sets of grandparents, you want to have half the say by these grandparents, half the say by those grandparents. It's not going to be half and half. You have to have some Kiddush till after Birchas HaMazon has to be in one place. And then after you finish the Birchas HaMazon and you have the fourth, the third cup, then you can go to another place to complete the end of the same. In fact, the Talmud says that all of the early shifts in Yerushalayim, the day of the Beit HaMikdash, all did that. Because the second shift is banging on the door, it's already finished, let's go. I'd like to put the thing last night. Finish already, we want to start our Havdalah, we want to start our Seder. I say something like, everybody has to eat on the ground level, and there isn't so much room in Yerushalayim, near Atika, for all the millions of Jews to eat the Karban Pesach. Everybody has impatience. I had to wait till the first shift finished the third curry. They said from Kiddush till Birchas HaMazon. And after Birchas HaMazon, then they kicked them out. So the Gemara says the first shift, or the, by the end of the second shift, whatever, the earlier shift goes off to the rooftop to finish the fourth curry on the rooftop. And the next shift will be beginning their Kiddush on the ground level. That's the comment that the Gemara says that in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, they would eat kazaisa, they would eat a kazaisa of the Korban Pesach, and then they would finish and they would bench, and then they would go to the roof, v'halela poka igra, and they would be jumping and dancing on the roof, when they would be reciting the concluding parts of the halal. Half of the halal was recited before the meal on Pesach night, and half of the halal was recited after the conclusion of the meal. So there would be so much dancing and singing on the rooftop, and people had the people down on the ground, they had the impression that the roof was going to collapse. Like a lot of times you go to a wedding and there's so much dancing, so you feel the whole building rocking and you feel as if the ground is kind of there, the floor is kind of there. But that's when the Talmud has such an expression that in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, where they had to eat the shifts on the ground level, they always had their say in two different places. The first three places were on the ground level, and the fourth place, by the time it came to the fourth place, the second section of the house, the fourth place, they had to finish that in a different place. The Havdalah itself seems to pose a question and give an answer. Manishtana Halayla Azani Kovalev is the following question. There was a dispute in the period of the Tanoim whether the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is a daily mitzvah. Every day we recite Kriya Shema. So we recite the first two chapters, the first two parshiyot of Kriya Shema, which we recite because it says the debacle from the Shavuot called Kamecha. You should recite these Divrei Torah when you're about to go to sleep, and when you wake up in the morning, that seems to be alluding to the Kriya Shema Shel Arvit and Kriya Shema Shel Shachrit. Why do we recite the third parsha of Kriya Shema? It doesn't say to be part of Baba Shach Pachal Tumecha. But the Mishnah in Brachas explains that's for the sake of fulfilling a different mission. The other part of the Chumash Dvarim that says that we should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day of our life. The mantis, I think, says from the Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yimei Chayecha, and the rabbis had a tradition that the word is the Kol. And that passage doesn't only mean you should remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, but rather you should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's what's known as the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitzias Mitzrayim. The whole world, every day we have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's why the Chachamim introduced the reciting of the third section of the Kriya Shema, the third parsha. And the Talmud and the Gemara Brachas has discussed why they picked this parsha. This parsha really talks about Tikkun, just the last parsha talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim. But it picks a different parsha, which has heavy emphasis on Yitzias Mitzrayim. But it picks parshas Bo, Bishalach, some other parshas. So the Gemara has a whole explanation why they picked this parsha of Tikkun. But the reason why they decided is basically because of the last parsha of the Chiyus Yitzias Mitzrayim. So then the Mishnah records the dispute among the Tanaim, which is quoted here in the Havdalah. Does this mitzvah of the Chiyus Yitzias Mitzrayim every day of the year, the man Tizkor, means Tazkir, the man Tizkor can say from the Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yimei Chayecha, does it only apply to the daytime? So when you daven shacharis in the morning, you have to recite all the three parshiyos of Shema. But at night, when you recite the Kriya Shema, you don't need to recite the third parsha. Maybe just recite the first two parshiyos, where it says, the Dibarat Avraham, Shach Lechav Kumecha. And the third parsha, which is not really for the sake of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, rather for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of the Kriya Mitzrayim, maybe that can be omitted. So the Talmud had a dispute about that we have recorded in the Haggadah. Obviously our practice is that we say all these, we know it, that we daven Ma'ariv, those of us who daven Ma'ariv, no, that we recite all the three parshas of Kriya Shema, both in Shacharis and in Ma'ariv. So we say, Vayomer and Ma'ariv is both. And we conclude with the bracha of Yisrael. The three brachas of Kriya Shema, the Shacharis and in Ma'ariv correspond to the three parshas of Kriya Shema. The first bracha of Kriya Shema corresponds to the first parsha, the second bracha of Kriya Shema corresponds to the second parsha of Shema, and the third bracha of Yisrael as well, corresponds to the third parsha of Kriya Shema. Now, Kidem is a different story anymore, because it has nothing to do with the Kriya Shema. So we know that our position is that we mention the Kriya Shema every day of the year. The man Tisro, he says from the Earth, Shem Tisro, he's tasked, he should mention, Kol Yemecha Yecha, Yemecha Yecha Hayabim, Kol Yemecha Yecha Halilot, so both by Yom and by Laila, and every day really mentions the Kriya Shema. So our brother seems to be raising a question, so man is Tana, what's different take of night from every night of the year? Every night we got married, and we recite the third Pasha Shema, which contains the same of the Nisra of the Kriya Shema. So why did the Torah have to give us the special mitzvah of telling over the story of the Sifrisana Pesach? Not special Pesach. You got it to the Limcha, but Yom HaHulim Mor, and that day, on that day, what day? But it's there. It means the nighttime. You know, it says, but Yom HaHulim, it doesn't mean the daytime, it means the nighttime, because at nighttime you have Bab Zer, the Shoshay Shema Tumar, and Yom HaMokhalem. So what do you need this whole topic for? Every day and every night you have to say the Sifrisana Pesach. So the Haggadah seems to pose the question, and give the answer, that Kalamada was tapped with this in turn, Haraid and Mishugot. Then I say at night, there's something different. All year long, you just fulfill the mitzvah by reciting that last passage. The last line in the third part of Kriya Shema, we mentioned the Kisara, we mentioned briefly, Ani Hashem Lachem, Asher Osei Tehez Chem Yerim Yitam 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 A mention, both in Shachris and in Myrus, of Makkah, Zacharias, and Kriyas Yamsun. So we do that too. It's Zacharias Marokkan, of course, we mention Magadan, the Gizra Yamsun. So we mention Makkah, Zacharias, and we mention Kriyas Yamsun. But there's no mitzvah to enhance, there's no Midas Chassidus, there's no Chumre to add on more than that. It's sufficient that we say the last Pasuk in Kriyas Shema, the concluding Pasuk in the third Pasha. We add on what is accepted that should be added on, a brief mention of Makkah Zacharias and Kriyas Yamsun. Pesach night, that's not sufficient. Pesach night is a mitzvah to be marvelous out there, and it's accepted, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Kenneth, that it's more correct. The correct thing is that a person should continue to talk about the Kriyas Mitzrayim all night long, Ashitach Tefen Hashina, until he falls asleep. Because every additional sentence that a person will discuss in Kriyas Mitzrayim will be an enhancement of the mitzvah. Unlike every night, every day and every night of the year, there is no such mitzvah. A mitzvah, Kalamah, or Sapa, or Eitan, or Shubuk, it doesn't enhance the mitzvah. And this story alone is only the Chira in Kriyas Mitzrayim, a brief mention. On Pesach night, we refer to this mitzvah as Sipur. The Gartor, Habrach, and it's an Arichas Vart. That's what the Mitzvah explains. The word Lahagir, Lahagir means to give an Arichas Vart. And that's why we refer to this list of simply Kriyas Mitzrayim as opposed to the Chira. So how the Chira is at least mentioned. And Sikha means to tell a long story. So that's exactly why on Pesach night, we say, Kalamadu Mishapa Mishiyas Mishrayim, Harayza Mishiyas. This is one of the differences between the mitzvah of the Chira Mishiyas Mishrayim that applies all year long, both by Yom and by Laila, as opposed to the mitzvah of Sikha Mishiyas Mishrayim that only applies on Pesach night. There are several other differences, and it's important to keep them in mind. Another difference is that all year long, when the person fulfills the mitzvah of the Kriyas Mitzrayim, he doesn't tell over the story to anybody else. He's talking to himself. He's not even talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the person davens to the prayer of the Baruch HaKadosh Hashem, he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you say Kriyas Shema, you're not speaking to the Baruch Hu. Kriyas Shema, you're speaking to yourself. There's no obligation to recite Kriyas Shema loud enough, Ashi Ashmira HaDeiro. You don't have to tell it to anybody else. And even the third parsha Shema, which is recited for the sake of the concluding process, of Zechir, Zechir from Shirayim, that's Baha Zechir. Zechir means Baha Zechir to mention it. I mention it to myself, softly. I don't have to tell it all with anybody else. On Pesach night, the Chumash emphasizes the Higgah to the Rehob. So this has seen that you have children, those who are married have children, grandchildren, but you got to the Rehob, they should tell for their children. If one doesn't have children, you tell you get a group, you have other people, and one person tells the other. The brother says, even if you don't have children, you have nobody, and you're sitting all by yourself, so one should have thought that maybe there's no way to fulfill a mitzvah of speaking to you since I'm not paying up nine, so that's not the reason our brother, so that's the thing, even if he's all by himself, he still has to say that brother, he tells himself. He talks to himself. A little crazy, but he should talk to himself. But it's preferable that it should be that he got it from the Rincha, you should tell it, you should communicate this story to somebody else. That's why it's interesting in the Shulchan Aruch, they spoke to the Baalei HaTeitzos who lived in London, when they started the crusade, many of these Baalei HaTeitzos were killed by Kiddush Hashem. In New York and in other communities in England. So the Baalei HaTeitzos insisted that since the mitzvah of speaking to the shrine has to be fulfilled by telling it to others, and a lot of times their wives and their children didn't understand Hebrew, so they used to recite the Haggadah in English. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You should say the Haggadah in English. So they said that the Baalei HaTeitzos who lived in London, you should say the Haggadah B'Lav. Obviously the Lav was English. It's in Yiddish in London. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if the people to whom you're communicating, the Hasidim should tell over the speeches you're trying to others, if they don't understand the Hebrew, then you should say it in translation to make sure that they'll understand. There's no need to say it twice. You don't have to say it. If you say it twice, it's better. Say it in Hebrew, then translate it better. But if it's going to take too much time, then it's preferable to say anything in English in translation. The Chumash seems to add another Kinesh, which we have in our Haggadah, the present form that we have of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av and Shai. And at Pesach night, there's another distinctive character to the mitzvah of Haggadah, of Tisha B'Av and Shai, as opposed to the Zechirah of all year long. That at Pesach night, we should fulfill the mitzvah of the Derech Sheiru or Tshuva. We should pose a question, so the Pesach says, V'hoyah Tishol Chagim Chomoha Leimor, the children connect to Abba Gadim to the Torah, and the children ask questions to the father, and the father should tell the Tisha B'Av and Shai, in response to the question that the children ask. All year long you don't have a shayla or tshuva. You just say, yes, I'm okay, I'm sure I'll take the answer from the Eretz. You mentioned the Chiras of Tiras and Sada. A Pesach night, which should be in a form of communication to others, and you got to tell the so the Chachila, the Chumash seems to imply, and that's how we have it set up in the Haggadah, based on the Mishnah, is somebody poses questions in the beginning. You have Manish Tana Lala, yes, how can we eat matzah? How can we eat more? In the days of the Tamidus, it says, how can we eat Kod and Tessa? How can we have other persons? How can we have Ashtaja? How can we have Karesis? How can we have Madzilin? What is it all about? We raise questions, four or five questions. Today we have no Kod and Tessa, so there are only four questions. The Raman says, in the days of the Tamidus, we have a fifth question regarding the nature of the Kod and Tessa. So the CP Pearson Tryon should be telling the story of the Pearson Tryon as a response to questions that are posed in advance, and the question should be about the Devah and Martin of the Shosh Eshmach Tomorrow. We're not going to come out, but the question should be relating to the Mitzvah Salayla, the Mitzvah Zeraita, and the Mitzvah Zerabon. The Mitzvah Zeraita, the Bansha Betamim Shoykan would be the Tom Tessa, the major Mitzvah, the Martin of the Morrow. Today there's no Tom Tessa, so we don't discuss that. The Mitzvah Zeraita, the Morrow is the Rabbon. Other places, a Sefer. So we raise questions, we pose questions regarding the mitzvah deraita and the mitzvah derabbanan, and then we tell the story of Tzias Mitzrayim in the form of an explanation, in the form of an answer to these questions that were posed in the beginning. These are all the unique characteristics that distinguish the mitzvah of Tzias Mitzrayim and Haggadah Pesach night, the mitzvah of Tzias Mitzrayim all year long. The Mishnah itself and adds on another 2 points. One additional point that distinguishes Tiki Tzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night from Zechirah all year long is that on Pesach night there's a specific form how we are required to fulfill a mitzvah. We don't know if this is a din in Torah, probably only a tachon of the Rabbanan. The Mishnah says we should recite our Rabbi Avraham, that's called the Parsha Mitzvah Bikurim, when the farmers would bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, there would be a Mitzvah Chavurat HaBikurim, and then most of the farmers, in addition to the Mitzvah Chavurat HaBikurim, would also fulfill the second Mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. They would recite the Arami of Rabbi by Yerid Mitzrayim. So that section of Mikra Bikurim has a few words about Tzitzit Tzitzit Mitzvah. So for some strange reason or another, the Tanaim pick, and maybe the Anshei Tzitzit Mitzvah, maybe the Bais Rishon, we don't know exactly when this was the Mikvah, when this was determined. Somebody, at some point in the history of the world, decided that we should fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzit Tzitzit Mitzvah night in a specific form via reading this, reciting the Sukkim from Mikra Bikurim and commenting with drushes of the Torah Shabbat there. A drusha means that you're giving something in addition to the literal translation of the Sukkim. So that's exactly what we do. We say, Arami Avdami Vajer Tzitzit, we recite the first pasuk. And then we give a commentary on the pasuk, and a lot of the things that we add in the commentary are not shuka shal mikra at all. We're reading things really in between the lines here. And then we continue to read the second pasuk from Mikra Bikurim, and we give a drasha of the Torah about that, the third pasuk of the song. So this is a specific form of which the Tzitzit is designed to be fulfilled, and a form of commentary, a combination of learning Torah Shabbat with Torah Shabbat there, combined together. Reciting Sukkim from the Chumash, we take the Mikra Bikurim and Arami Avodavi, we recite the Sukkim of the Torah Shabbat, and we add the commentary of the Torah Shabbat there, that's called the Dorsha. The Kori and Arami Avodavi, the Dorsha, Hachigat Atala Parashat Kuru, so we can keep the whole Parashat of Mikra Bikurim. An interesting story, we have this in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say a person came to shul, and he decided to give a Torah in one. Usually the meaning is that you decide to give a Torah before you start reading a Yalda Kavim. The Yalda Kavim is Mishnayit, so you're not supposed to learn before you decide to give a Torah. Some people learn before they get to shul. When I come to the minyan, they're ready people, when I come to the Beit Medrash, 7:30 a.m, a couple of guys ready sitting and learning. Whatever, before I come, obviously they have to say Birchas HaTorah before they start learning. They don't just say before they learn the Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what if a person is ready to start Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and ready to say it, and suddenly he learns a little bit, and then he gets an Aliyah. So does he have to repeat again Birchas HaTorah? He already said Birchas HaTorah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, you have to repeat again the Birchas HaTorah. Why? Isn't it a brachah about Torah? What are you saying the second time? He just said Birchas HaTorah before.
So the form of Birchas HaTorah, you cannot rely on the Birchas HaTorah that you have decided earlier. You have to recite another Birchas HaTorah. It's interesting, we recite on Leil HaSeder, we recite some kind of a brother that sounds very similar to a Birchas HaTorah. We start off the Haggadah by saying, Baruch HaMoch and Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemesh HaTorah on Yisrael, Baruch Hu. It sounds like it's a Birchas HaTorah. Baruch HaMoch HaMoch HaMoch, but it sounds like it's a Birchas HaTorah. The Atharetic was fond of giving this suggestion. That perhaps since the Chachamim were mistaken that the mitzvah people you did to try not pay for the night to be fulfilled in its fulfillment form, you can't just take out and say the Torah and read it or tell the story to the children the way you want or read the Midrashim or something. The Chachamim were mistaken that the direct way to fulfill which you did to try is this specific form of reciting Torah to the Tzad with the commentary with Russians of the Torah of Alper in conjunction with that Torah of the Tzad, to recite Parshat Harami Harami and to Darshan. So perhaps since this has a specific, this constitutes a specific, form of commentary, perhaps therefore we require another Birchas HaTorah. Even though we said Birchas HaTorah at 8:00 in the morning, before we said it's Yom HaKoyimah, before they made the tune, the time of prayer, whatever, and people were learning all day, they were not learning all day, whatever, and the Birchas HaTorah in the morning covers all the learning that they're going to do the whole course of the day, and the learning they're going to do at night. But if now they are required to have a specific form of commentary, they can't just tell over and teach these things on the way they want. The Chachamim only talk about the specific form, so perhaps this is the reason why the Institute also this form of Birchas HaTorah, Baruch HaMoch HaMoch Hu, because you always require a Birchas HaTorah, you're about to fulfill a new form of commentary. A new form of commentary has to be fulfilled in a specific truth. Yet another point we brought out by the Mishnah regarding the Hadrabi on Pesach night, that this specific mitzvah of seeking is designed on Pesach night has to be fulfilled
by bringing out a contrast. Not from the youth from the sign of the shot. You have to say how bad things were before the appeared to Israel and how wonderful things became after the appeared to Israel was accomplished. We're going to have that for the book. What exactly is Yehud alluding to? What is Matzah the Yehud? The sign of the shot. In the Talmud before, two opinions, Rav Shmuel, I can't think of those two facts. Rav Shmuel were the students of Rav Yehuda HaNasi. Rav Yehuda HaNasi is the one who edited the Mishnah, he didn't. I didn't walk into the sky to get into the sky. The Mishnah must have been an old tradition from earlier generations. Everybody knew that Tizman, not of the Jews, and the Simon Shah, that these were students of Rabbi Arnati. What did we hear? What did Rabbi Arnati say? When he had to say that they told him, what did he say? A lot of times we have this problem. We have the first Mishnah in Baruch HaKadosh, we have the Mishnah that says, Abor, this is Jesus, and Asher, Abor, 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 and then there's a dispute between Rabbi Shmuel what the word Matan means. So the commentaries on the Mishnah is wondering, how can there be a dispute? He learned that Rabbi Arnati when he came to Shir, when he was teaching him his new book that he just came out, just published in Mishnah. So what did he tell us about it? Didn't he translate the word? Nothing. So the Mevarshim say that there were always two ancient traditions. Which are the Abba's music? And Rabbi Arnati picked the word Nazareth to satisfy the both traditions. So Rav had, and they were both right. And in the end, they were both right. Historically, they were their both traditions. There's no Nachkanim, there's no different from Abba Maitre there. But if I'm just a historical question, which should be my brother's position that I listed off in the Mishnah? So Rav Shmuel definitely was disputing which one makes more sense to be the correct position. But there always were two positions. It's happening over here also. Rav Shmuel has to write in the Mishnah that the correct way to fulfill the Mishnah's teachings is the time of saying something like this, not so that the root of the Tanish Rach and the first generation of Amorim, his students, were learned by him. And then they traveled to Bobo and they established the two big yeshivas in Bobo. They have two different traditions. They must have been two old traditions. That's why the mission doesn't say clearly what it means, because Moscow and Luke and the Tanakh can cover either tradition. So that's the tradition, what this is alluding to, and we follow both traditions. We say two Havarim. We say both Havarim. The one tradition was, as you say, Havarim Hayinu Lefayim Mishnah. But you have the Hashem Hakeinu Mishnah, you have Hazak, etc. So that's the Moscow and Luke and the Tanakh. The other tradition holds that the Moscow of the Jews and the Simon Shah is referring to a different Hagar. Namely, we say, Mitzvah of the Abbot is all high out of them. The Asher Kevara Hamakam Lavi does that. He emphasized the fact that after the Zohar gave us Matan Tayyar. Matan Tayyar, that's the question. Matan Tayyar, that's your boy. What is the Zohar line with Matan Tayyar? I think that's the wrong time of the year. Don't talk about Sukkot. We talk about the Shabbat before the end of the day. What is he talking about? The Tzilah, that is the Asher Kevara Hamakam Lavi does that. So the commentary is explained. But the Kuhn tells us in several speaking, several flavors in the Kuhn, that the whole topic, the whole purpose of the Jews of Zion is not just freedom. The Jews are always fighting for freedom. Little bit of the Jews have the freedom. The Jews are always fighting for freedom. The Mishnah tells us in this young man of the Horan and the Mishnah Ursin Batora. Freedom only makes sense, it's only meaningful if the person is Ursin Batora. If you see it through in the Halo that gained at the time when Jesus Christ wasn't really meaningful, it wasn't, if Jesus Christ wasn't really completed, it still might not have been. Still, it's not all the Kapella and Hansinai, 7 weeks later. In fact, that's what the Rabban writes, I hope that's why we have a group of spirits that are in there to connect Shabbat with Pesach, but you shouldn't think that Pesach is not in the Halo and the Halo is completed just by having freedom from bondage and slavery. No, the Halo is only completed in Lucham and Korin. Says that the Aseret HaKedushim were engraved on the Luchas Chorus HaLuchas, and the Mishnah says in this service that the Chorus HaLuchas, that the completion of the freedom of the Jewish Messiah only took place on the Mekabah HaTorah HaSinai. The Rabban writes that the period of Shirat HaOmer is comparable to the period of Chalamot, that connects the last day with the first day. So it's over here, this is like a connection. That's the word is the Gemara of Pesach. In fact, the Rabban goes to tell him, he says, the Sholosh HaGol and Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, the truth is, we have a holiday of 7 days, and we have a Shmini Atzeret. Pesach in there, he told the holiday of 7 days, but it doesn't have a Shmini Atzeret. When is the Shmini Atzeret? Shavuot. That's why the Mishnah refers to Shavuot. It's Atzeret. Shavuot is really the Shmini Atzeret of Pesach. That's the 8th day that links up with Pesach. And the Shmini Atzeret is like a long colloid that connects the two. What's the whole idea? It's not that explains that. The whole purpose of Pesach is the Shemitah of the Torah. And that's why one of the reasons the Gemara was that the Mishnah requires lots of the Gerud of the Tzayin Mishra, one of the reasons we could have the Gerud of the Mishra, the actual story of the Mishra, the other thing is not. to speak about the Yud Mishra of the Chakra, of the purpose of the Kingdom and how perfect was Kabbalah and Peret. That's why the other thing is, as you say, is the Kulab that we know how to say you, and the Akra Kabbalah and Mokum Avodah. So the mind says, we say both of those. We say both of the Akra. So that's for the sake of the Nakhla, the Jews, and the Kabbalah and Mishra. And then, we continue with what the Mishnah requires everybody to do to that. There's no dispute about it more on this. You have to decide, Parsha, Mikra, Kuhn, Arami, Avodah, we did Dorsha. And we did the commentary on the Arami, Avodah. You know, the very strange practice of Pesach night is break up the challah into two parts. Part of the challah we recite before the meal, and part of the challah we recite after the meal. This is a very ancient tradition. The Mishnah records the difference between the Shaman and the Tilon. How much of the challah should be recited before the meal, and how much of the challah should be recited after the meal? Needless to say, you only follow the opinion of the Tilon. You don't follow the view of the Shaman. The Shaman say you only say the first chapter, the first section of the challah, and we talk about it in the book section. We say, how we saw Allah be Hashem, and we say, the station from the time. We say, two parts before, two paragraphs before the meal, and the rest of the hour after the meal. What is the idea in breaking up the house? Normally, we say the whole hour together. Just and have a, make Kiddush. A lot of people have a Kiddush club. So, you need to have the Kiddush, I said, before Mountain. And they need the liver Kiddush, I said. And the liver, how long? People are hollow. People are so starving. They can't finish the hollow again. You just have to hear before the hollow, after the hollow. Who's in the middle of the hollow? What's going on over here? So the Rebbe explains to Nathan Gardner, we want to declare the Judah, Leil Tessa, as a Judah Sanzoya. There is an institution of a Judah Sanzoya. When a person engages in a day doctor in a family, someone is put in a hospital, and a further if it's not there, he wants to say, he wants to thank the Kaddish Rov, he wants to give Torah Tafei. He brings a Kaddish Tafei on the Beit HaMikdash, and he invites all of his friends to eat with him. And he expresses his gratitude to the Kaddish Rov over the meal. What is the idea of expressing gratitude over a meal? The Gemara has an expression in Masechet as kindness. The Mishnah is recorded in kindness that if there's a fear of Shem, if there's no rain, very sure, the crops are not going to grow. The people won't have anything to eat. It's a dog. It happened in America. They had the animals dying all the time because there was a drought. So it's a story. So when you have a few extra children, sometimes it doesn't because the time is everybody gets it. So let's say they go to China and they stop the test in the morning. Then it starts the poor. So everybody's over short. They go home and you can eat. There's no need to test anymore. Make a yonder. So the mission says they go home and they eat. And then they come back to school and they say, how long? They pray that for the talk and they can't have the talk. The Gemara says a question, why do they go home and they eat first? It's only by dropping dead again. Let's say it's only 11 o'clock, they didn't really care so much. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, so why do they go home and eat breakfast? Then they come back to school, they look at the hollow. How long is the hollow going to take? What kind of a hobby do they have? I'm sure in the cow box, it takes 3 hours for the hollow. They'll take you half an hour, so the whole house is going to take you half an hour. So why don't they first say the hollow and then go home and eat? So the Gemara explains what the Mishnah means. Elam and Hallow, El Al Keres Mameya, the Nebis to get a Hallow, the Shach HaNed, can only be decided if he is eaten and his stomach is full and you are in a good mood. Every Yantar, every Rosh Chodesh would say Hallow in the morning before we have breakfast. That's not a Hallow, the Shach HaNed, that's a different Hallow. That's a Hallow like an expression of Simchat Yom and different things. But a Hallow, that's an expression of HaKeres HaNed, Hallow, the Shach HaYeshua. Hallow, the Shach HaNed, that's a different kind of a Hallow. So the Hallel on Pesach 9 is the first man of Gemara, the first man of Mishnah concept. The Hallel on Pesach 9 is also considered such a Hallel of a Hallel of the Shachaya. Because we say the whole Gavadar, Chai Vodam Yerush Nassat, no people who are working in Mishnah, the Jukha, Hanach Nahayav, and the Hondas of the Hallel. Because we have the sensation, because we have the feeling, we should be just left in Shachaya right now, the whole Gavadar, Chai Vodam Yerush Nassat, no people who are working in right now. Not that we should have the feeling that we're left in dry and 2,500 years ago. No, we should have the feeling that we're left in dry tonight. The people of Hanach and Hayom, the Hodes of Lahava, and this is considered a Hallow of the Shach HaNed. The Hallow of the Shach HaNed really makes more sense to be deciding our Keres Maleo, the Hanet is Tereo. First you have the Leo, and then you decide the Hallow. But we want to designate the two that is a Tereo, so you got it, like one brings the Kodesh HaNed, and they come into it. So when a kid explains to me, that's why the Kanon is deducted. What was Kanon is doing? The Shami and the Bishop, they just had to be through the Hamas and the Halbi to explain before the meal of Hamas answered. Where do you cut off? Where do you break up the Halos after this? But the doctor who sandwiched the meal in the middle of the Halel, why? The ego of the Halel really is after the meal. That's the Halel of the Shah Kanon, which is the name we decided. The Kerat Malay of the Nefesh Tadeya. There is a good mood, there is no day of the religious meal. Cite one section, one or two sections of the hollow in advance of the meal to be prepared to help children as the students come to it. The hollow is completed over the fourth cup of wine. We mentioned earlier that there are four brachas of our faith and not to the third brachas of our faith, Peter Shamayai. The second is Hashem, the Avant, the Lord, the Ten, the Giant. The third is the Birchat HaMotan, the Ramayayin. And the fourth is when we complete the Halal, then we recite what the Mishnah refers to as the Birchat HaShir. What exactly is the Birchat HaShir? We're not sure what it is. So the Talmud records two opinions, two things among the Amorites. One opinion is that it refers to the Halal Mukha, the Birchat that we always recite as the conclusion of Halal. So what's the meaning then of Pesach Nat, you say Yahluka? For any day Halal, you say Yahluka, at the end of the Halal. So the Pesach is complained on that issue, that the Mishnah says not, the Mishnah says in the Gila, that whenever we recite Halal, on the occasion of our Shoyday, the concluding Bracha Yahluka is optional. It is composed by the Ashish Nesu Tandela as an optional Bracha. If you want to say, you say. If you don't want to say, you don't have to say. And it depends on the minute on Bracha. Bracha Mishnah of the Barak, the Bracha. Bracha Mishnah of the Lord of the Barak. Very well, and they'll have stayed there, it's no longer optional, it is required. It's annoying, or I could say, whatever it is, we concluded that we should decide the halal on Pesach night. We came within the meal in the middle of the halal, little halal before, little halal after, and we should conclude the halal of the gospel with the dropping halal look. And even if the meaning of your mockery is that all year long, whenever you try to have a look at the conclusion of the halal, and the other side, and I'm not sure about that, and they'll have stayed there, you have to stay out. That's one opinion in the Gemara that the Birchat HaShir that's referred to is the Bracha of the Halal. The other opinion in the Gemara is no. The Birchat HaShir that's being referred to by the Mishnah is the Bracha of Mishma. Mishma is the Bracha. Mishma is the Bracha. Mishma is the Bracha. Mishma is the Bracha. I'm got a Bracha. It means Mishma is still the end of Mishtaba. So the end of Mishtaba ends with a Bracha. And the Mishnah called all of this the Birchat HaShir. Starting from Mishma, to the end of the Shabbat. That's why the Chariot reports the name of his own Adoyim, a comment that's important to some people and not to important to other people. When you come to Shul late, so you all know you're supposed to be Dabbin Tiyuruki. When you come late, you've got a bridge. You've got a Mekatur of a bridge. How are you Mekatur? Everybody knows from Shal Hurah that you say, or Shal Mahashi Yisrael. That's the bare minimum that you have to have for the Duke of the Jews. The Chariot according to the name of the Zohar, the Chayyotim was the Chutzim of the Zohar. The Chayyotim was the name of the Chutzim, the Zohar, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they would come late to Shul, and you feel that if you come after Anas Jesus, it's a big name. But if you come a little, if you come 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, by abridging you will be able to gain the Zohar, because then you abridge. So you can't abridge so much on Shabbat, just to say this. For Hashem Ashtag is Shabbat, because on Shabbat and Yom Tov, the Bracha of Mishtabat begins from the beginning of Mishnah. It begins from Mishnah. You say, for Hashem Ashtag, and then Mishnah, you Yishtabat. So the Mishnah refers to this as the Birchat HaShir. So what should we do, the mindset? The Gemara has two interpretations, because the Mishnah, one interpretation is that Birchat HaShir that describes as the conclusion of the Halal. And Pesach 9 is the Mishnah. The other interpretation is that the Halalukah, so which did we choose to say? So the Gemara says they're both nice ideas, meaning that they're both traditions. Just like not for the Birchat HaMitzvah, Mishnah must have been two traditions. He wrote the Mishnah writes it in a vague fashion. The Ramal of Birchat HaShir, which was so vaguely probably to cover a few amount, he probably edited the Mishnah, and he wrote it in such a way, Birchat HaShir, that it should cover the both traditions. So the Gemara says, may you say both? You should say both. What do you mean you say both? You have to say two different problems. At the end of the Halal, you say the Halalukah, then you say, no, you will know about people, then you say Mishnah, and you say to the end of the Halal, you say again a Bracha. So that's one opinion that is shown. The Rambam writes like that, that at the conclusion of the Halal, on Pesach night, you do, you say, you do the Bracha, you say the Halalukah. some of you have at least have brothers in the Mayo, we think of both our brothers that follow this tradition under our son that is no longer observed today. Nobody follows that teaching today. Not the Ashkenazi, the other side of nobody follows that teaching. You have to be careful if you have the sentimental reasons. You want to leave the Hazara to be facing Hazara in the 1100s. Some of them make reprints of Hedges in Hazara. Some of them have reprints of Prince of Hedges. But these are ancient Hazara that nobody follows with opinion anymore. That I'm saying sometimes you have to say both wrong. But that opinion is not wrong. How do we combine the Gemara? Not saying you say both. The Gemara means you say both. You have a Bukha, the paragraph that we usually say at the conclusion of the hollow, and the Mishnah to the Shabbat, but you don't say two Chassidim. You only say either one Chassidim or the other. So which is the winning Chassidim, which should one say? So that's an old dispute between the Jewish Ashkenaz and the Jewish Christ. Half of the Haggadahs, if you have 10 Haggadahs in your home, most likely half of them will be with the Ashkenaz and half of them will be with the Christ. So your family should make up, if your mother is from a Hasidic family, your father from a Shandu, or your nurse, whatever, to make up your mind who's going to win, to send them to Shulchan. You shouldn't have one family deciding to give them the scores on their own. You can make up their mind, whether they're going to say the Rishach of the Minig Ashkenaz or the Rishach of the Minig Tribe, and they are not saying it. The Rishach of the Minig Ashkenaz means that you go straight to the Lord. You say the Hallow, then you say the Halleluja. After the Hallow, you say up until the end of the Halleluja, not including the Baruch HaTashi and Naruch Mahuva, what you propose. Then you say, the Mishmas really under the Tzavach is included with the Baruch of Yitzhak. And then it's Tzavach that you go backwards and forwards. That you say, Hallow to the end. And then you say, Mishmas really have to through the Tzavach. And you say, up until the end of the Tzavach, but you don't finish the Tzavach. And then you wake up and you go back to say the Yehalalucha and you conclude the Baruch of Yehalalucha. If you are Sargon or you are Hasidim, the Hasidim also send you a subscribe. Then go backwards and forwards. You say like that, Mishmas. And if you ask them, how do you? All families should see the big hundreds of the other. They decide to have not accordingly. It's interesting, the Mishnah seems to record a dispute between the Tarkan and the Antifa regarding the Rishach of the Drocha that we recite under the second cup of wine. I shared the Amana with Drocha at the same time with the Anna, I know I've done that from God, Master Umar, period. So that's happened to that's it, that's the end of the Drocha. And he says, So what exactly is the dispute between the Tzaken and the Hebrew, the Mishnah and the Gemara do not come? No explanation is offered. The Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah, says he doesn't think that it's a dispute because they just lived in two different generations. So the Hebrew was an older contemporary of the Hebrew who lived during the period of the second generation and survived after. He was not killed by the Romans. The Romans killed many times. And then he survived. So the Tarkan says, the Mishnah records the Mishnah of Rabbah that was decided during the days of the Bai Shechi. Because the Rabbah was always saying, he's going to Amala the Lecha for death of Mansu Amara, period. That's the end of the book. But the Kiva was a young contemporary. He was a little child in the days of the Bai Shechi. And he was born after the Churban Abai. So the Kiva is recording the Mishnah of the Mishnah of Rabbah that was decided after the Churban Abai. We read that, we don't say it. If you're not allowed to let a bunch of Tetzach Matmo, we don't have any Churban Tetzach. We just say what we say. If you're not allowed to let a bunch of Matmo Mubarak, and then we offer a prayer to Akhar Yisrach, okay, Hashem, okay, the Yadiyenu, please, give us the clearest to see the Beit HaMikdash, the Yisrach Kavishim, the Nefer Shem, the Azrach, the Melachim, the Tetzach, and because of the Kiva has two things to the Zohar, we thank Hashem the Zohar Hashem Yalom and we thank him for the care that he gives. We offer a prayer for the future. But since you have more than one theme in the Zohar, that's called the Zohar Arucha. It has to be ascended to God. That's what we say. Baruch HaKadosh Hashem Zohar Yisrael. According to the version that we decided by our passing during the period of the second day of Hamitra, that there are no two themes in the Zohar. There's only one thing. We thank Hashem the Zohar for Shachiyah, which is tomorrow. The same thing is different from the form of Shachiyah. That we thank Hashem Zohar Hashem Yavan from our conversation, we gave it to Tzir, and Rabbi Tzach Matzimah, thank you, and at the end of the Zohar, there's no need to conclude Zohar Hashem Zohar Yisrael. It's a Zohar Tzor. Zohar Tzor means a Zohar that only contains one thing. So when you don't have to ask for Zohar Tzor, 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 Zohar T כן, השם אלוקינו יביאנו, ספרי שבזכר, ושפיר בניין, בית המדינים ילך לצורך ולעבודת ערב, אז זה שם, נכון שיהיה בו ולא מסוים על הגוש של הברוכה, ואז כאן תסתר את הברוכה הלוכו, הברוכה הלוכו למי שמצאו בצדוח, אז זה שבפרסת את בבורו, וחלקם עם בבורו, כמובן שמיים של תמיד נמצא. איך אתה לדבור את הגוש של ספיר, ושפיר, היה ביחד לא נהיה מגיליציה, ומתעמח לבניין בית המדינים, able to use for the sense of master humor, and it was better to be a machine of the case. We say, speak up to the right man if it's time to begin. We want it.